Why go to all the trouble of experiencing the great outdoors for yourself when you can listen to a few Northwest outdoor experts yap about it? This is the Three Rivers Marine Outdoor Line with Tom Nelson and Joey Pyburn on Seattle Sports. The Outdoor Line is brought to you by Yamaha, Sportco Outdoor Emporium, Duckworth Boats, Roy Robinson RV, Kitsap Marina, Bob's Heating and Air Conditioning, Ray Marine, and Les Schwab Tires.
Welcome out to the Outdoor Line, Seattle Sports Station 710 and Seattle Sports app. I'm Tom Nelson. That's Joey Pyburn and Matt Nelson running the board. And you know, when you really want to emphasize how big something is, it's the Super Bowl of football, you know, and so much of this. Dude, the Bassmaster Classic, without question, is the Super Bowl sport fishing in the United States of America. This $300,000 event has got the eyes of the nation every single spring, Joey.
Which is awesome. I mean, bass fishing for us up here, you know, it's very popular, but, you know, you go south, it's all people do. And it's when you actually go out and do it, which I did this last week on a real bass boat, it's so much fun.
It is a kick in the pants just to get bit. So anytime we get a chance with somebody with boots on the ground at the Bassmaster Classic, and Brad will attest to this, I hounded him all week. Come on, man. You're down in Knoxville. Brad Henry, brand manager for Minn Kota Cannon, live from the Bassmaster Classic on the Tennessee River in Knoxville. Good morning, Brad Henry. How you doing, buddy?
Morning, man.
Good morning. Good morning. Thanks for having me on the show.
Dude, well, thanks for putting up with me, dude. When I heard you were down there, I had to get you. Set the scene for us, man. How many people have invaded Knoxville, Tennessee to take part of the Bassmaster Classic this weekend?
You set it up just right. I mean, this is truly the Super Bowl of fishing. Knoxville, Tennessee, we have expecting at least 100,000 plus people coming through the town over the weekend through the Expo Center. The Expo Center's got four different halls. We have, I think they said the first day yesterday, the first day of fishing at takeoff. You know, this is early in the morning. All the boats leaving the ramp. There were 6,500 people just at takeoff. So, and that's on a Friday morning. So this is how exciting people are about this. It truly is the Super Bowl of fishing. You have people traveling not just from the local area, but around the country and even around the world. So there are a number of anglers that are from other countries. So it draws a really big crowd.
Well, and you got to be busting this morning because one of your pros, Jeff Gustafson, is currently in the lead to the $300,000 Bassmaster Classic. And he's running that Ultra X with Mega Down Imaging and iPilot Link.
That's exactly it. Gussie, as we call him, is doing a phenomenal job. Great angler, great individual, and actually from Canada himself is really got a really great lead right now. You know, but we've seen it before, just like any big event like this. Some crazy things can happen at the last minute, but we're hoping he's going to stay in that first place spot until the end.
So just to bring this back home to us a little bit, and we talked about this earlier this week, we are seeing the prevalence of bow mount electrical motors virtually take over. If we will not go a day anymore, Joey, whether we're tuna fishing, whether we're
salmon fishing here in Puget Sound,
there's so many more of these bow mounts. I mean, and you can understand why. I mean, a boat's going to be led by its bow, but we've always pushed them from the stern. So tell us a little bit, particularly about the units the guys are running right now, how the transducer on these Ultra X's has allowed a searching mode and how that the integration of sonar transducers with these bow mounts has really revolutionized bass angling and could have the possibility of doing that here too, Brad.
Absolutely. We've seen, to use your word, we've seen a revolution in trolling motors in general. Minn Kota has been making trolling motors since 1934, so we're coming up on 90 years of trolling motors. And what has happened in just say probably the last 10 or 15 years has been groundbreaking. Everything from a basic electric trolling motor that you would have on the transom of a small boat to what we have today is mind blowing. The GPS technology is built into them, sonar that's built into them. And so now what we've done is Minn Kota and Hummingbird, we're owned by the same company, we're sister brands. and work very, very closely together. And we've been able to kind of combine the best of the electronics and the best of the trolling motors all into one package. So things like down imaging and side imaging and live imaging now are now built inside of the trolling motor to give you that ultimate experience to kind of make a nice clean look, but they also operate seamlessly. So when you can control your trolling motor from your fish finder unit on top of seeing these amazing clarity, it's really revolutionized how people approach their fishing day and really just how much time you have on the water. So basically when it comes down, especially like a tournament day like this, if you can focus less on controlling your motor and finding fish and just more time casting, your percentage rate is going to go way up. And that's what we've been able to do by combining all these great technologies all together.
Well, the Minn Kota Altrix features power steering. Okay, it's got Spot Lock, which is essentially a GPS anchor. It's basically an autopilot. Hold your a course or just keep you on station. It's got a lift assist. Okay, so you don't even have to bend over and kind of lift it up, and a steering lock function as well. So
turns your boat into a self-driving fishing machine, and it says it right there on their website, and it's perfect. You know, we have a buddy we fish with here. Austin Mosier, Brad, and he does a bunch of walleye fishing. He does a bunch of trout fishing, salmon fishing, and he has one of these Minn Kotas on the bow of his boat. And without that, we would not catch nearly as many fish. You know, the way that thing will anchor and then slowly work you down the bar, and Austin doesn't have to do anything. He sets it up, boom, it runs. And it allows us to fish more effectively and catch more fish.
Absolutely. When you think about your time on the water, you want to be as efficient as possible.
Bingo.
You know, you want to keep more time with your line in the water than messing with your gear and positioning your boat. And really, truly, boat positioning is a pain point and a frustration for no matter what species you're looking after and what style you have. And things like Spot Lock have just completely revolutionized the industry where – before, if you were to, even as simple as if you get a fish on, you want to stay on that spot while you're fighting that fish. And instead of trying to maneuver your boat or throw an anchor or have a co-angler or a buddy step in, you could just hit a button and that spot lock would just drop a GPS point and your boat stays exactly where it is. So once you get that fish in, you didn't lose a beat. You don't have to reset. You don't have to maneuver again. You're right in the spot where you can get that line back out, and hopefully there's that fish had a buddy, and hopefully you're catching that next one as well.
We're talking with Johnson Outdoors, Brad Henry. He's a brand manager, Minn Kota and Cannon, and he's not selling a lot of Cannon downriggers at the Bassmaster Classic today, but it is all about Minn Kota. Now, we've talked about taking power and using this power. Now we need to put some power back into our boat. And that's where the onboard precision chargers, which are the other side of the Minn Kota equation, really come into bear. I'm looking at all your pros right now. Every single one of them is running some version of these onboard chargers, and you know, including our friend Brandon Polinick from Idaho, right? And I'd be lying to you if I told I wasn't rooting for him. I mean, Jeff Gustafson, that'd be fine, but we've had Brandon on the show a number of times as well. So tell us a little bit about the other part of the equation, the maintenance side of your batteries, and how Minn Kota onboard chargers help you do that job as well, Brad Henry.
So I'm glad you brought up chargers. So chargers are such a crucial part of the equipment that's in your boat. And it's the one that people always forget about. We always liken them to like a hot water heater or something like that. It's not something you think about until it goes out or there's a problem, and then it's a big deal. And so chargers, and if you also think about the cost of batteries for your boat, it's such a big expense. I mean, they wear out, that you have to maintain them. And you want to get the maximum life possible out of those batteries. And the proper battery charger will enable you to get another year or two or 3 years out of them. And we do that by every battery chemistry type likes a different charge. You know, you like to dial it in just perfect. If you overcharge them or if you undercharge them or if you charge them in extreme heat or extreme cold, it will actually wear that battery down quicker. And when you used to have a full day charge and now it's a three quarters of a day, then it's a half a day, that's because they're not being charged correctly and maintained correctly. And what our precision charger does takes all of that out of the equation. You can dial in on our precision chargers what exact battery chemistry you have, whether it's a flood lead acid or AGM or a lithium battery. It will give it the proper charge profile, so it's charged properly and it's topped off properly and maintained. But it also has some what we call like a maintenance mode. So over time, especially lead acid batteries, you know, they get a lot of buildup on those lead plates in there. And our charger will actually help kind of descale those plates and will give you the maximum battery life possible for the longest possible life of the battery. And they're truly great. People don't think about them, but it is such a very crucial part of the boat setup.
They don't think about them until they get down to their boat and their batteries are dead, and then they've lost a day of fishing. And if you think about everything that you've done to get there, the boat's ready to go and stuff. You know, you're taking a day away from work and family and everything to go fishing, and you got a dead battery. You just lost a day. I would not have a boat with a battery without an onboard charger. And so many guys around this neck of the woods, Brad, do not have onboard chargers on their boat, and they just count on, or they'll take one that they can clip in there, a portable battery charger, and that's a half measure at best. Put a built-in battery charger on your boat, and Minn Kota's got a bunch of them. Brad Henry, thank you for your time this morning. Appreciate you joining us from the Bassmaster Classic, and don't be a stranger, buddy. Appreciate your time today.
Thank you, Brad.
Thanks, everyone. Thank you.
Talk to you soon. All right. Coming up next, starts with a B, ends with a B. It's Bob's Heating and Air Conditioning's Northwest Outdoor Report. Coming up next here in the Outdoor Line, Seattle Sports Station 710, Seattle Sports App.
The Northwest Outdoor Report is brought to you by Bob's Heating and Air Conditioning. Your family's comfort has been our family's business for over 50 years.
Skagit and Sauk Steelhead Fishery to open this morning. Over 5,200 wild steelhead to return to the Skagit River this season, enough to sustain a recreational catch-release fishery according to an updated and belated plan approved by federal agencies this month. We acknowledge that anglers have been eagerly awaiting updates in the Skagit steelhead season and are excited to open this fishery now that our plan has been approved, said Edward Eliezer, WDFW's North Sound Region Fish Manager. This collaborative 10-year plan is a model for managing sustainable steelhead opportunities guided by science and careful monitoring. Steelhead fishing remain open 5 days a week, Saturdays through Wednesdays only, through April 30th. Wild steelhead must be released immediately and may not be removed from the water. Fishing from all other species remains closed. The Skagit's open from the Dalles at Concrete upstream to Marble Mount. The Sauk's open from the mouth upstream to the Darrington Bridge at Sauk Pro Road. See the emergency rule change page at wdfw.wada.gov for additional details.
Salmon for Soldiers' 10th annual Day of Honor will be on August 19th at Harbor Marine. Boater registration is open beginning today and will be first come, first served until the 100 boater limit is reached. After the event is filled, a waiting list will be kept, so don't wait. New this year, for skippers who check in on Friday the 18th, there will be a captain's meeting at 1700 hours featuring an appetizer barbecue, fishing seminar, and captain's gift bags as well. Don't miss the annual summer classic event to say thanks for your service and welcome home to our veterans and active military heroes. For your registration form, please email salmonforsoldiers@gmail.com.
While the North Falcon process is nowhere near complete, some trends are definitely emerging. 5 buoy 10 options were presented this week at the Columbia River Fisheries Discussion, and the only palatable choice to the Columbia River Fisheries Discussion and the advisors present was a coho and chinook selective fishery through the 25th of August, followed by coho only the 26th through the 30th of August, then a final buoy 10 selective chinook and coho opportunity August 31st through September 4th for the long Labor Day weekend. Closer to home, North of Falcon 2 discussing statewide finalized fisheries proposals takes place this Wednesday, 9 a.m., March 29th at the Linwood Embassy Suites. This is your last, best, and final opportunity to show up and make a difference in our local fisheries. Hit the North Falcon page at wdfw.wa.gov for more information.
April Fool's Day is no joke, and if you don't renew your WDFW license before the end of the month, the joke is on you, because last year's license expires on March 31st. Before you head out this spring, remember that you'll need to renew your 23-24 recreational hunting and fishing license. License options include everything from a 3-day razor clam license, annual combination fishing license, or Fish Washington license to small game licenses and turkey tags, combination big game hunting licenses, or the Get Outdoors package that covers you in the field and on the water at a savings. hit mywdfw.com for everything you need.
North Sound Marine Expo at Harbor Marine, April 15th. Join us 2 weeks from today for a spring seminar on steroids. The North Sound Marine Expo, presented by Harbor Marine. You're going to discover the latest and greatest in this season's fishing and marine technology innovation. My Shrimp Seminar and Pot Float and Handling Techniques, helped out by Bubba Buchanan of SMI, followed by Joey Pyburn's Ling Cod Bottom Fish Drill and Gear Rigging Demonstration, will ensure your season gets off to a fast start. This one-day event's a must for shrimpers, crabbers, ling cod anglers, as well as industry pros. Jim Desson's Carolina Smoked Barbecue will be selling discount $2 there. $2 for a barbecue. At the event, pulled pork or barbecue chicken sandwich. Mark your calendars April 15th at 0900. Be part of the first annual NorthSoundMarineExpo.com.
WDFW confirmed coastal razor clam digging reopens at Long Beach in addition to digs planned at Twin Harbors, Capelas, and Moke Rocks. For the first time this razor clam season, domoic acid toxicity is below closure levels coastwide in Washington, said Bryce Blumenthal, a WDFW coastal shellfish biologist. We still have plenty of harvestable, nice-sized razor clams on all beaches for some equally great digging during the first daylight low tide opportunities of the spring. Clammers are reminded that the daily limit is the first 15 clams dug per person, regardless of size or condition. Each digger's clams must be kept in a separate container. Final approval of remaining tentative openings in March is dependent on marine toxin test results, so stay tuned and keep clam, folks.
The Northwest Outdoor Report has been brought to you by Bob's Heating and Air Conditioning. Now through the end of March, save 20% on all heat pumps and air conditioners at bobsheating.com.
Are you hungry? Do you like Hawaiian food?
Mm-hmm.
So check it out, gang. There's a fundraiser today at Taste of Aloha, 514 State Avenue in Marysville, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. You got a choice of barbecued guava chicken. You got pastel soup or smoked meat and mac salad. I've got six of these. So it's a fundraiser in Marysville. Support this community. I love Hawaiian food, dude.
And all this, you got to do to get free advertising on the Outdoor Line is make amazing Hawaiian food.
Dude, I'm saying, and I'm not even getting in a discount, dude. But no, check it out. So it's a fundraiser today. Taste of Aloha. I put a link up on our Facebook page and the Outdoor Line and my page, too. So go check it out and help this local family stay in business there in Marysville.
Very cool. So
again, Taste of Aloha. 514 State Ave in Marysville, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Little fundraiser today. And you get some killer food out of the deal. All right. Columbia Springers fits and starts, right?
CQ, Blackmouth, kind of the same deal, you know?
Weather's just challenging everything. Bottom fish out of Westport, kind of tough. Same deal. Stirred up ocean, cold.
Skagit River.
Okay, that's a worthy option, okay? Mm-hmm. But you can't keep them. You want to catch a steelhead and eat it? You better head to the Cowlitz. So you better head to talk to Todd River Dog Daniels of Tall Tales Guide Service. Pretty much the only website that still uses vacuum tubes, right? Todd River Dog Daniels joining us next here in the Outdoor Line, Sales Sports Station 710 and Sales Sports App.
Get in, sit down, hold on, and listen up. You're in the RenaissanceMarineGroup.com's wheelhouse, brought to you by Weldcraft, Duckworth, and Northwest Boats.
So, Joey, are you old enough to remember the old-style TVs when you pulled the knob out, and then there was kind of a little light in the middle, and then the light kind of shot across, and then the screen kind of lit up? I swear that's what TallTalesGuideService.com's website just did.
So, he's gonna hate us.
He just hung up. Todd River Dog Daniels has been doing awful things to the steelhead populations down on the Cowlitz. And in talking to him, we just had him on the horn, and he dropped off when I started picking on his website. Mm-hmm. But make a long story short, it's so funny to watch the evolution of techniques. Like, you know, years back, I would not even have considered going out steelhead fishing without a whole bunch, you know, of cured up eggs and sand shrimp and everything else. But Todd's kind of holding back the bait right now because he's got a pretty solid bead program. And just like a good offensive coordinator, if they ain't stopping it, keep running it,
sure.
Right? Todd River Dog Daniels, Tall Tales Guide Service, joining us now. Good morning, River Dog.
Good morning, fellas. How are you?
Good. What's going on down there? Are you? I'm watching Cowlitz River live right now.
Yes.
Are you pulled over doing your interview, or are you actually fishing your way down the river?
Yeah, sorry, all due respect, guys, I don't slow down for you. no, we're fishing.
All right.
No, we're actually where that camera is. We're just down below it right now. You just missed us. However, yeah, it's, you know, the calendar says spring or whatever, but I had to push about a half inch of snow off the boat this morning at the old boat launch. It's cold, but thank God I have the heater in here. And, yeah, it's starting to warm up a little bit and sun's starting to come out. So look for a beautiful morning with, about 75 of our closest friends here.
So we've seen a run timing change. I mean, in a hatchery manipulation situation, you can take the later returning hatchery arrivals and keep breeding them. And eventually they kind of delayed the run here. So where are we at with regard to the cowlitz hatchery run? Are we coming up to the peak? We're not past the peak. Where are we with regard to that run timing down the cowlitz?
I would say I call the end of March, beginning of April is the peak of the run. So it's right now. Okay. You're correct. These are all in basin broodstock fish. So they all came out of, their, parents came out of the river as wild fish, and now became hatchery fish. And I'll tell you what, though, this last week or so, there is a large percentage of three salt fish that have definitely showed up in here, all between, 12 to 16, 17 pounds in here. And I don't really like them. They're too stressful.
They're high drama steelhead.
When I talked to you yesterday, just briefly, I checked in with you and you're like, oh man, we just lost like a 15 pound hen. Guy hooked it on the front of the boat, ran under the boat, got hooked up in the prop, and you'd lost that one. Right?
Oh my gosh, yeah. And then Joey happens to call right at the moment of our down.
So I know. It's like usually when I call people, they catch fish. Yeah, they don't lose them.
He called you at the bottom point of morale in the boat, and the whole crew was down. I used to have a T-shirt. The beatings will continue until morale improved. Mm-hmm. So that's probably what it is with the Cowlitz River Pirate, Todd Daniels. So in talking about the techniques and in talking about the way we used to do business, I mean, we used to have to have 50, 60, 70 liters tied up just about every day. Now with the bobber dogging technique, things are a little bit different, more efficient, you would say, and without having to bait things up. So, tell us a little bit about the contrast, how you coach your guys up when they see the bobber behave a certain way, and how are you coaching them up to hook these fish, Todd?
Yeah, so what we're doing with the bobber dogging setup, we have all these bobbers are on a slip float, and that's the million-dollar question on how far your slip float is. But basically, it's glorified side drifting, right? It's side drifting with a gigantic strike indicator for you fly fishermen out there. But what you do is you cast it out to, basically the same spots. And what that bobber does is it just helps keep that weight at the right angle, dragging along the bottom. It just keeps it up so you just don't snag up nearly as much as traditional side drifting. And everybody can see where they are with the bobbers. And if, the boat moves around a little bit or whatnot, you can reel in a couple of cranks. You can open your bail and dump a little bit of line if you're fishing a nice seam or a nice line all the way down the river. And, by not, losing gear all day, every day, your gear's in the water longer, right? And isn't that kind of the idea? The more your gear's in the water, the more efficient you are.
Well, it allows you to keep your gear in the zone.
Yeah,
you like,
for sure.
And as a guide, you're looking out there and you know exactly where those fish are. You know this fishery inside and out. You can look out there and you can tell your guy on the front of the boat, reel 2 feet this way or let some line out. And it just allows you to fish more effectively.
Oh, 100%. Yep, you're exactly right. And, I can talk to your bobbers now, by the way, bud. There you go. We didn't stop here.
We give bonus points for guides that yell at their dudes. All right, we do.
If you on the TV, so I know this.
Yeah, okay, all right. If you yell at your dudes. Yeah.
Call him names, yep, too.
Come on.
When you do it.
Yeah.
Exactly. But no, I'll tell you something. These bobbers, keeping it in that zone long, it's all about being efficient and covering water. Doing this bobber dogging thing, that's why 95% of the boats out here or more are doing it these days, just because it stinking works.
But even though you're losing less gear, every now and then there's a hungry squirrel that somebody will cast to up in a tree, right? Or they'll hit the brush on the bank or a boulder or a log jam. Come on, right?
Yes.
You still have those.
Yeah, so you're going to go from, you know, traditional side drifting, you know, back in the day, losing 50, 75 liters a day. Now we're losing 25 a day. I mean, you're still losing some, right? So, but it's just, you just don't lose as much, which is nice.
Are you on speakerphone right now, by any chance?
No, sir.
Okay, all right. Okay, because I was going to offer a free fishing trip on the Sea Beast if all three of you guys had cast up in the tree right now. So that's okay. I won't do that.
That's not funny, Nelly.
That's a little bit funny. All right.
Yeah, maybe a little bit.
A little bit exciting is the fact that nearly 10,000 springers are headed for your creek, and that is when you're going to break out the bait.
Well, it's funny you say that, too, because, you know, I've just started earlier this week having basically one rod with bait on it, just because there already has been, you know, a few springers being caught. A few meaning, you know, that I personally know of, you know, a couple, three or four, but we're getting in that time frame, and throwing some bait out there is certainly going to increase your odds and get you catching those springers. Now, that being said, a springer will hit a bead. We've done it before, for sure. You know, that's certainly not your, you know, your primary bait for a springer, so to speak. But, so it's, you know, probably a rod a day is going to be, going to have to bait on here just in case. There's nothing better than looking at, you know, 15, 20-pound springer on a steelhead rod.
A chunk of prawn or a glob of eggs, probably, right?
That's correct. Or sand shrimp, Joey. Get some.
That was a blunt chiding right there. Now they used to call that the Cowlitz cocktail when you fish both ones together.
Yeah.
So when you're kind of doing the double tasking, right? You're multitasking. You're targeting both species, but when you get right down to brass tacks and targeting springers, you're probably, are you still bobber dogging, or do you slow it down?
It actually works, but no, I mean, the traditional stuff, you're going to, depending on what side or which portion of the river, you know, bobber in that Cowlitz cocktail in some of the upper holes and those deeper holes sitting on anchor, that is an extremely effective way to do it. It flat out works. Because, you know, these springers, they aren't in a huge rush to go up to the,
they're not.
You know, the hatchery. They'll hang out in this river for a long time, and they'll sit in a hole for a month, right? And so you do that. Now, the other ones, they'll move from hole to hole, right? And what a lot of people do is, you know, you're on diver and bait, whether it be, you know, cut plug herring, maybe some, you know, quick fish, you know, things like that, or, you know, Cowlitz cocktail behind a diver, hitting those traveling lanes. And that's, you know, patience is the name of the game with those things as they, you know, get moving through the system, and that can be deadly effective. And so, you know, it's ridiculous how many fishing rods are on this boat on Springer Day. Oh my gosh, trying to find room for all these things. But that's what you got to do to be, you know, to have your best chance of getting a, you know, good crack at these things. So,
just so you know, Todd, sand shrimp were delivered down there yesterday. Okay.
That is the best news I've heard so far today, Joey. Thank you very much.
Todd Daniels joining us. TallTalesGuideService.com is the website. We're looking at some salmon seasons now. We're looking at an uptick. Looking at an uptick in some of our local creeks. We've got a pink season ahead of things here. Looking like a pretty solid, I'll say spring Chinook, but they're really not. And the Skykomish this year. So, you see some of these forecasts and you see increased numbers of coho and stuff like that, what do you see coming down the pike for your summer and fall closer to home, dude? Let's hear it.
I'm so geeked out about the summer Chinook here coming up. I really am up on the Skykomish. It's, you know, it's our home fishery. It's our local fishery. And I'll tell you what, those fish are amazing. And, you know, they're, you know, what do we catch? What, 90% of them have sea lice on them, so they shoot right up out of Snohomish, out of tidewater, and you know, you get your first crack at them, and they cut as good as any salmon there is, to be honest with you. You know, with those increased numbers, we should have multiple opportunities every day of hooking some, you know, really nice Chinook. And I'll tell you what, though, that Skykomish River in the springtime as the snow's melting, things like that, it's pretty hard to beat the scenery around there, too. You know, it's, you know, snow-capped mountains and, you know, and deer walking along the riverbanks, catching bright chrome Chinook, you know, 20 minutes from, you know, your house is pretty cool.
And I love nothing more than a just straight up bait fishery. If you want to catch one of those fish, you better have a glob of eggs on.
Oh yeah, yeah. If you don't, go find some. Exactly. So yeah, so you got that, and then you know you're gonna roll right into pushing 650,000, pinks and a really strong coho run. So the home fronts look really promising coming up all the way right through the end of October. So. I'm excited to come home at the end of the day.
Keep your fingers crossed that the North of Falcon Express doesn't get derailed here this Wednesday at Linwood, and we may have a real good season. He's Todd River Dog Daniels from the Legacy website, TallTalesGuideService.com. That's only available if you have a dial-up connection.
Still up.
All right, go get him, buddy.
All right, guys. You guys have a great day.
Thanks,
all right, Todd.
You
keep in touch, man. All right, coming up next, bye-bye. The hottest report we heard all week, the techniques you need to succeed. It's Roy Robinson RVs. Really? Where? And it's next here in the Outdoor Line. Seattle Sports Station 710, Seattle Sports app.
No way.
You got to be kidding me.
Really?
Where?
It's coming back. The island is tinny and the lady.
Where'd you get him, man? No way. You got to tell me. I'm not going to tell anybody.
Hey man, can you tell me where you got him?
I'll never put on a life jacket again.
Welcome to RoyRobinsonRV.com's
Really?
Where?
Where?
RoyRobinsonRV.com will take you anywhere. Really?
Time to step up to the number one Winnebago dealer in the entire Pacific Northwest. Head to Roy Robinson RV where you're going to find a complete selection of Winnebago Class A's, Class B, Super C's, travel trailers, fifth wheelers, toilers, pop-ups, campers. And so much more, including the all-new How Much Can I Tow? It's a great thing to know before you go. Also, seller consign your RV with us at Roy Robinson RV, RoyRobinsonRV.com.
Skagit.
Skagit. Yeah, killing me. Rotten people, rotten friends of ours that are rowing
They've already caught cute little drift boats. Three steelhead up there this morning. Yeah.
It's just, you people that fish on Saturday while we're dry docked in the studio here, you should just simply be ashamed of yourselves. It's just awful.
I'm watching Cowlitz live.
Yeah,
I'm watching the parade of boats.
We got friends down on the Columbia too. Springer fishing. All right, so I'm gonna give you three choices right now, Joey Pyburn.
Okay,
if you transport you via Scotty's teleporter, right, and shoot you right down to the Columbia River.
Please
or,
don't.
Or oh really? Okay. Door number two would be CQ. Door number three would be the Cowlitz, and door number four would be the Sauk or the Skagit.
I will head north.
You are
to
going
to the Sauk or the Skagit.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah,
me too.
It looks cold.
It's not even close.
A little boring down in the Columbia right now until some more fish show up.
Yeah, it's just not happening.
CQ, I would love to be at CQ. If I could be transported out there in your boat.
Yeah, I'm going to be humpy. Yeah, it'd still be a little humpy bumpy this morning.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to be in any other boat, but. Look, we haven't had an opportunity to be up on the Skagit or the Sauk this season, so that's what I want to do. I want to go up there. I'm not greedy. I just want to catch one wild steelhead in the Skagit on a plug, and then I will probably leave him alone for a bit.
I we got that little 16-foot smoker sled, Yamaha Power, and we got some oars.
Yeah, okay. We got Kevin John hooked us up with some oars.
The rules for the Skagit Sauk fishery are a little bit confusing. Obviously, no bait. You don't need bait, right? But this bead program and the bobber dogging thing, the cool thing about a flat bottom sled, you can get that thing over on the bank and cover those big long bars just using the oars to keep you straight. Old school boondogging. And it is so much fun because those steelhead. And Todd Daniels is a master practitioner of this technique, and he's doing it down on the Cowlitz right now. But you drift on downstream, and those steelhead are either holding or going upstream, and so the boat practically sets the hook for you at that point. And it's so much fun, and the bites you get in that scenario are just absolutely horrifying. Wonderful stretch of river. You've got Rockport to Marble Mount. You've got the Darrington down to the confluence, and it's part of our Western Washington heritage. It's unfairly been denied us for a number of years. But now the feeling I'm getting of this new 10-year management plan is that if the river is forecast to make escapement, then we should get a March and April opportunity on the stream.
It should be much easier at this point. Like, we shouldn't have to go through this whole permit process with NOAA, and the feds had that permit for a long time. We heard way back before January that this was in the process was happening, and we were going to have a fishery. We knew that we had a good forecast. So now we should have, when we get a decent forecast, we should get a fishery. So hopefully, we won't go through the frustrations of this next season. There's a fish on the callus right now.
Technology.
But, looking forward, like, obviously, as soon as we start to hear some numbers from – From the Columbia,
it's going to happen fast. It just all of a sudden, it's like, okay, now we're seeing a couple, over the dam at Bonneville. Then all of a sudden, boom, it just seems. And this is, one of the problems with the way we've harvested these fish is we've truncated the run timing distribution by fishing the face off of it, right? And always having early seasons and taking the progeny of hatchery fish that all return at the same time. Mm-hmm. And so what you get is fish that all return at the same time. So and the peak of that run is probably going to be, again, the very last week, which is right now, the last week of March, but also the first week of April. And like you said, the water temperatures slow things down a bit too, and it doesn't help when the creek is festooned with pinnipeds either. But I know it's going to happen, and all of a sudden it's just going to boom wide open. It may take a couple sunny days. Now, we've got an unseasonably cold weekend, but looking at Monday, Tuesday, we're going to kind of be coming out of this. I think a couple sunny days are going to definitely jack things down on the Columbia. A couple calm days are going to jack up the catches at CQ.
There's a lot of stuff to do. I was thinking about it, and obviously at Ray's Bait, we're very busy kicking out tons of halibut bait for the upcoming April 6th halibut opener. I'm going to go down and fish with Dave Lee for Springers on the 5th, 6th, and 7th. And then I'm going to be back up here hoping to get out if we can and try to catch a halibut. Bass fishing, I want to say thanks to Captain Nick Kester for having me aboard. And we went up to Bellingham, Lake Terrell, and did some bass fishing. It was pretty slow. Lake was cold. Nick got a nice ditch pickle. I turned one.
Do we call it?
Yeah, is
you
that what
you okay? You had to drive.
A lot
okay.
of fly fishermen, they're like,
you turn, oh,
I turned one, or okay. I had a pluck. They would say,
I had a pluck. Okay, all right.
But it was cool, and I actually, I have two Stone Glacier rain jackets, one for fishing and one for hunting.
Oh,
and I've been out trapping beavers, right? So I wear my trapping license in the pocket. And my other one has the fishing license in the pocket. And I grabbed the wrong rain jacket, and we got back to the ramp, and there was the game warden. And he said, "Can I see your guys' licenses?" And I'm like, no way.
Oops.
I didn't have my license. But the game warden was very
understanding.
Nice and understanding. And he ran my driver's license to make sure I wasn't a felon or some type of criminal fugitive on the run. And turned me loose without a ticket.
He turned you.
He turned me loose.
He turned you. He had the game warden go, "Yeah, I got a pluck by Joey Fiverr." and we do have some nicer weather this week too.
Well, the nicer weather too. I want to go back. Yeah. I want to go bass fishing. And once this weather kind of changes,
and actually,
it's going to pick up.
Yeah, and it actually starts this afternoon. We're not going to get 50 degrees today, but we are going to get 50 on Sunday. I don't see 60. Until Tuesday, and then the following weekend is back to 40s and 30s again. But I think we're going to get some decent weather. All it takes, and that's all it's going to take for Western Washington kokanee too, and trout, is just a couple sunny days just to kind of charge things up and get things going. Still got razor clam seasons on the coast, right?
And all the beaches are open now.
Yep.
So we're gonna have some great opportunity here to get out and get some daylight digs finally.
Morning right? digs.
So that's nice. You can go out there and do the morning thing and get your limit of clams. Nice to have all the beaches finally open.
Get up in the morning and slam some clams. Yeah,
yes,
no question
sir.
About it. And it's going to calm down. Yeah, I hope we get the boat out this week, man. I'm dying to get out. But yeah, to all you rotten guys up on the Skagit and Sauk this morning that are sore lipping those steelheads.
Oh, it's going to be fun throughout the day here.
Yeah,
to see the pictures.
Yeah, for sure. and somebody's going to get a gagger, dude. This in March, you've got 20, 25, and even 30 pounders in some of those streams. And so somebody's going to hook one that is going to break loose their favorite plug, and they're not going to see the plug or the fish ever again. And that's absolutely what they deserve. Again, just another quick reminder, a little fundraiser going on in Marysville today at a very deserving little Hawaiian restaurant, Taste of Aloha, 514 State Avenue, a little fundraiser between 10 and 2. I'm picking up my food right at 10 o'clock. So
there you go.
Yeah, I can't wait to get that done. And then 2 weeks from today, the North Sound Marine Expo at Harbor Marine. Be there or be square. Our friend Bob Buchanan is going to be helping me out with a shrimp rigging demonstration and my shrimp seminar, followed by Joey's lingcod and rigging demonstration. We're going to cover some halibut stuff, too. Without question, because that's going to be right in the heat of our halibut opportunity, and we're not going to be doing any halibut taste testing, but there will be barbecue available. North Sound Marine Expo, April 15th. We're doing the show live from there, and then a couple seminars 2 weeks from today. Missed any of the show? Jump on mynorthwest.com, hit the outdoorline.com, download that Apple iTunes app, and you will get the podcast right there. Give Joey a follow at Joey Pyburn on Instagram, at The Outdoor Line on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. For Matt Nelson running a very tight ship behind the glass, Joey Pyburn, this is Tom Nelson.
Out at 55.
In The Outdoor Line on Seattle Sports Station, Seattle Sports 710.